The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Yes, good day, Tokers and Tokettes, and welcome. It is finally Friday, October 19th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We've got plenty of good stuff to bring to you today, and most happily, my favorite thing to bring back today is our news director, Cannabis Carrie, is out there in our virtual studio in Grastoria. How you doing, Carrie?
Hey, Russ. What a nice introduction, and on a Friday, no less. What a great day.
I know. We get Carrie back on a Friday. It couldn't be any better, and we're looking forward to seeing you later today, I hope, too.
Oh, definitely. I'm going to try to head that way. You live about 100 miles from me, so there's a little bit of distance to travel, but I'll get there.
You make it for the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, perhaps?
Oh, I hope so. That's such a great show.
All right. So Carrie brings us our news headlines right after the first break. So what's in the news today, Carrie?
Well, today we've got a story that comes to us from Cannabis Cure out of British. I'm going to tell you about a British couple who got a prison sentence for growing marijuana. I'll tell you what they did with the profits for that. Also, we're going to cover an Arkansas ad that's come out against the medical marijuana measure in that state. Also, we've got some news for the New Jersey weed man and his court battle. But first up, we're going to talk about a challenge to the Arizona medical marijuana law in court that happens today.
All right. Be looking forward to that. And then after that, we get behind the headlines. And for today, it's behind the headlines segment. We're going to take a look at polling here just released in the state of Oregon on our Measure 80 marijuana legalization initiative. Then at 20 after the hour, it's time for our daily Toker Tunes. And Herb Thrasher will be calling in. He's got some great rock music for us today from King's Hayes. So we're looking forward to that. At half past the hour, a very special report that I'm entitling Reefer Madras. They had a statewide marijuana summit yesterday in Madras, Oregon. It's near Bend, Oregon. I was unable to make it, but one of our listeners was. Michael Hughes, he's an attorney working there in Bend, Oregon, was able to sit through the entire presentation. He said sometimes with his teeth clenched and his fist balled up, but he was able to make it through the whole thing. He's going to report on that today to tell us what we need to know are the priorities and the strategies of the drug prohibitionists, the cops in the rehab industrial complex, to keep throwing us in cages for profit. So we'll take a look at that at half past, and maybe at the end of that, even some time for a little bit of a radical rant. Then we'll take into hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111, and maybe I'll even talk about why I had to go get a passport. See you in just a few.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Take marijuana off of the streets, put it in a store. We can make it harder for the teens to buy, sell it like a bottle of wine. Jobs for our people, money for schools, who
up the day in the van, and I walked out of the building, walked through the big building over there. I walked outside, and I'm walking over by the lake, and I just see everybody casually smoking weed like it's all right. Like it's supposed to be like that.
Because it is all right.
Like you ain't got to worry about no police coming and asking you what you smoking or what are you doing here, or let me see your driver's license. See, that's how they do it in Amsterdam. Everybody just out there chilling. Ain't nobody stressing. You go buy your weed at the shop. You go kick it, smoke your weed, walk the street, do whatever you want to, and you don't
jive, marry, grifo, grass, hay. Technically, it's cannabis sativa, the common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different, something better.
Gateway theory doesn't work. Maybe. It's a reality.
Now it's time for our 420 headline news with our news director, Carrie Gallagher.
The Arizona medical marijuana law will be up for a legal test beginning today at 3 p.m. in a Maricopa County courtroom. The validity of the 2010 Arizona medical marijuana law that was brought to the ballot as a citizen initiative is being questioned on whether the state law interferes with federal drug law. A superior court judge will begin to hear arguments this afternoon from a company that is suing Maricopa County over their refusal to provide any zoning clearances for a proposed medical marijuana dispensary to be located in Sun City. The Arizona ACLU have joined that lawsuit by the White Mountain Health Center against the county. They are arguing that the state law is not requiring anyone to violate a federal law by issuing permits for medical marijuana activities since the state has decriminalized those acts. They also say that the county was acting illegally by rejecting their registration certificate, one of the state's requirements. Legal analysts call the suit important because a ruling with county lawyers could potentially shut the door for all legal dispensaries trying to open a full 2 years after Arizona passed their medical marijuana laws allowing medical marijuana dispensaries. In August, the state health department selected 97 dispensary owners to continue the process of opening their businesses within the state guidelines. That very same day, Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery said he would use the Sun City dispensary case as a vehicle to test the federal preemption argument. Out of the 97 approved applications, only 37 have gotten as far as a registration certificate. That comes after compiling things like zoning permits and security plans. So far, none of them are open to Arizona medical marijuana patients. Many say they are waiting on the outcome of this trial before they invest any more money. A British couple in their 60s have received a 3-year prison sentence each for growing marijuana in their backyard. Michael Foster and Susan Cooper from Lincolnshire have grown marijuana in their backyard for the last 6 years. They sold about $650,000 worth of marijuana in that time and have given most of that money to support a poor Kenyan village. Foster and Cooper in the last 6 years have paid for life-saving surgery for some patients in Kenya. They have also purchased computers for the village hospital and have sent a large amount of money to fund the local school. The Lincoln Crown Court said that this is the most unusual cannabis case they have ever had. The police were chasing a burglar that happened to run through the couple's backyard when they spotted the 159 cannabis plants growing next to a building the couple used to dry and process the cannabis. Although the defense was asking the court to consider the couple's good character and otherwise clean criminal record of the two, stating that they have never lived a lavish lifestyle, the prosecution called the operation significant and accused the couple of jetting off to Kenya with the drug money on a whim, then adding that the goodwill to the Kenyan village they supported may have only been to appease their consciousness. Both of them were ultimately charged with 4 counts of producing marijuana and 1 count of possessing criminal money. As soon as the verdict was read, they were both sent to begin their 3-year sentences. A group against medical marijuana initiative in Arkansas has released a TV and YouTube ad opposing Initiative 5. With the election just a few weeks away, Arkansas voters will be voting on a medical marijuana initiative that would allow doctors to recommend marijuana as a medical therapy in certain cases. Patients would be able to enroll in a state card program if they qualify and be allowed limited cultivation to grow their medical marijuana if they live more than 5 miles away from a nonprofit dispensary. Now, the group Arkansas for Compassionate Care submitted over 65 25,000 valid signatures to get this issue to the voters of Arkansas. The Family Council Action Committee has now paid for ads opposing the measure, but activists were shocked at the racist imagery of the 30-second ad. In the ad, a woman's voiceover says that if passed, Initiative 5 would allow almost anyone to qualify to grow, use, and distribute the dangerous drug, claiming if passed, the, quote, grass growers and dope dealers would be in charge. The commercial shows white tattooed men smoking joints, but then shows a black man wearing a tank top, sunglasses, and a backward cap, filling baggies with marijuana on a table littered with guns. Along with the Family Council Action Committee, the Arkansas Pharmacists Association, and the State Sheriff Association, and the state's Chamber of Commerce have all come out in opposition to the measure. You can visit ArkansasCompassion.com for a long list of those that support the measure and more information about this historical bill. Early voting starts on Monday in Arkansas. And this is Carrie Gallagher for the Russ Belville Show, giving your news today on Friday, October 19th, 2012.
Thank you, Carrie. And when we come back, we're going to go behind the headlines, taking a look at the latest Survey USA polls on Measure 80 legalization in the state of Oregon. This is the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back after these messages. Ballot this November. I'm just one of over a half a million Oregon adults who use marijuana annually, and I'm asking you to vote yes on Measure 80. Measure 80 would finally end the futile prohibition of marijuana and institute regulations that treat marijuana like alcohol. Measure 80 would end the facade of police trying to determine who is sick or healthy enough to put in a cage over a plant. Measure 80 provides jobs and tax revenue that Oregon desperately needs and institutes the industrial hemp crop our legislators already legalized. Best of all, Measure 80 protects our children by imposing the same educational and ID carding requirements that have brought teen alcohol drinking and tobacco smoking to their lowest ever recorded levels. Marijuana smokers are your family, your coworkers, and your friends, and we are one out of every seven Oregon adults who deserve the same respect as our friends who enjoy fine Oregon wines and craft beers. We may be the only Oregonians who want to pay more taxes. Please donate to Oregonians for Law Reform at OregonLawReform.com and help us help Oregon by passing Measure 80.
The Russ Belville Show brings you the best in daily toker tunes every weekday. Each day features a different genre, including Roots Monday.
Folks, here's a story about Mindy the Moocher.
Electric Tuesday. Irie Wednesday.
Summer ganja planter, call me the ganja planter.
Grooving Thursday.
Don't you wanna get high?
And Rockin' Friday. Then on weekends, we mix them all together in our weekend music party.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to get behind the headlines, and we're taking a look at the latest Survey USA polling that's come out here on Oregon's Measure 80, among other topics, and I'm afraid it does not look good for the state of Oregon. Well, we still have one in five Oregon voters still undecided on this measure. Over one in five. Now, the support for Measure 80 is registering in this October poll at 36% among likely Oregon voters. And that's down from 37% when they asked last month. Opposition to Measure 80 has increased to 43% from 41% just last month. And as far as the undecideds go, they dropped from 22% to 21%. So we still have one out of five voters who do not know how they are going to vote. Now, when these polls came out last month, the Measure 80 campaign made a point of saying, saying that the large number of undecideds was a good thing. There's so many people that are still undecided, we can convince them. But it seems that in the past month, the people that have been convinced have broken 2-1 in opposition to the measure. We've gone two percentage points up in opposition, one percentage point up in support. So the undecideds that have broken are not breaking the way we would like them to, unfortunately. Now, looking deeper into the numbers, the only demographic group, the only one of all the breakdowns in this entire poll that has majority support for Measure 80 legalization are self-described liberals at 60%. But that's down from 61% in the September poll. The support among Democrats is down to 45% when it was 47% in the previous poll. The support among young people aged 18 to 24 is down to 45% when it was at 47% before. These would be the three demographic groups you would most expect to have majority support for legalization, and yet they are showing below 50%, Democrats and young people. And of course, it doesn't get any better when you look at other demographics like older voters who tend to vote in great numbers. Ages 50 to 64 on the Measure 80 are polling at 35%. Ages 65 and above are polling at 25%. When we look at party affiliation, Republicans, of course, only at 20%. Conservatives only at 18%. We do have, among independents, support that has reached 48%. Now, Oregon is completely a vote-by-mail state. We do not have polling places. Everybody casts their ballots by mail, and those ballots went out today. So many people will be getting their ballots, and I know people, some, who get their ballot and immediately fill it out, and they immediately send it in. So the time to convince those undecided voters is running frightfully, frightfully short. But you can help make a difference. We can still push these people, and there's going to be a lot of pushing need to be done here. Mathematically speaking, we need to get 3 out of 5 of those undecided voters to break to the yes side. Now, a lot of people don't know that Measure 80 is on the ballot, so any more awareness that can be made for this helps to bring people to our side. But we're really going to need push on this, not poll advertising. Yard signs are great. People standing on overpasses with banners are great. But we need to reach out to people. We can't expect them to come to us. We're going to have to reach out to them. And that means phone banking. So if you want to get involved, you can do this from anywhere in the country. You can help phone bank for Measure 80. You can contact the Measure 80 campaign at yeson80.com, I believe, or contact Oregonians for Law Reform at oregonlawreform.com. And you can get involved and help us, if not pass legalization in Oregon, at least put up a respectable fight for legalization in Oregon. We had a dispensary measure that was on the ballot in 2010, and it garnered 44% of the vote. Legalization has to at least get the same amount of vote as dispensary measure did, or we are taking steps backwards in this state. So do what you can, give what you can, give your time, your money, your energy. Contact the websites I mentioned, OregonLawReform.com, Okta2012.org. Help us here in the state of Oregon make a decent showing for marijuana legalization. And speaking of the upcoming election, I do want to remind everybody that we will be bringing you Marijuana Election Night 2012, sponsored by High Times Magazine, right here from RadicalRust.com on Tuesday, November 6th. You can catch our coverage starting at 4 p.m. Pacific time, and we are going to go from coast to coast as the polls close and get the latest marijuana election night figures. We start in Massachusetts with Mike Cann from MikeCann.net. Their polls close at 5 p.m., and we'll find out if they pass medical marijuana legalization in the state of Massachusetts with question 3. We then go to Arkansas, which polls close at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. Ryan Denham from Arkansans for Compassion Care. He will be there to give us the latest on whether Arkansas passes issue 5, their medical marijuana legalization. Then we head to the mountains and we go to Carrie Gallagher, our news director. She'll be in Denver, Colorado at the Amendment 64 headquarters to see if Colorado becomes the first state to legalize marijuana in the United States. Then it's up to Montana, 7 p.m. Pacific time, where we get with Heather Morris. She'll let us know how the initiated referendum 124 turns out, whether or not they restore medical marijuana to the way it was when the people voted it in. Then we've got 8 o'clock Pacific time when the polls close. And oh, I Lest I forget, in Michigan, we've got polls closing at 5 p.m. as well. Michigan will be speaking with Rick Thompson there from the Medical Marijuana Show. Rick Thompson will be bringing us the breakdown on citywide votes in Ypsilanti, Grand Rapids, Detroit, and Flint on marijuana decrim and low priority. On the West Coast, 8 p.m. Pacific time, coverage from the Measure 80 headquarters with Herb Thrasher and Michael Baccarat. They'll be bringing us the results for the Measure 80 legalization. I'll be in Seattle, Washington with the I-502 campaign and Allison Holcomb and Rick Steves bringing you the coverage of Washington State's legalization campaign and the vote results. And we'll get, we hope to be getting some reports from Ellen Comp of California Normal on six different cities voting on various medical marijuana initiative measures. It's Marijuana Election Night 2012 live, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. right here on Election Night at RadicalRust.com. And that sound means it's time for us to take a break. So we are going to take a break and see what we can do about upping the nanograms per milliliter in our bloodstream. When we come back, we got Herb Thrasher with some Rockin' Friday tunes. Stick around.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I don't like it personally, but it's time for a conversation about legalizing marijuana. It's a multi-million dollar industry in Washington State, and we get no benefit. What if we regulate it? Have background checks for retailers, stiff penalties for selling to minors. We could tax it to fund schools and healthcare, free up police to go after violent crime instead. And we would control the money, not the gangs. Let's talk about a new approach, legalizing and regulating marijuana.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint cancer? Would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Oh, lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Just lie to don't hide it. Fire up right now.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together. So let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes. The best in PodSafe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our daily toker tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your daily toker tune.
Oh, yeah. Time for some Rockin' Friday. It's been a long week, and we deserve time to turn it up to 11 and rock a little bit. So we turn things over now to the one and only man made of metal and marijuana. It's our own Herb Thrasher. How you doing, Herb? Nice to talk to you, man.
Yeah, there's always time to rock.
It's always time to rock. Thank you for taking some time from your busy work day to sit in with us and give us some rock music. And want to remind everyone, we got Herb Thrasher Flower Hour tonight at 8 o'clock. What are we going to play tonight?
Yeah, we're excited, man. We went to an Accept show about a month ago, and we've kind of had the interview out there, but we're going to air it tonight and go one step further and talk about Balls to the Wall, one of the metal classic songs, and another band had done a piano version of that song, and we're going to talk about that and compare the original version to that, and you might get a Herb Thrasher rant tonight about this. So we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
And then also, Sun Gods in Exile, man, we've had them on the show before, and they're calling it quits. And what? So I'm going to tell the story about that, and we're going to make a little tribute to them and have some good Southern rock sound.
Good, good. Right on. All right. Well, we got rock here for this 20 after break as well. I know people are ready to get their smoke on, and a lot of them wait to light up until they until we get the song going, so we better get it on.
There you go. So I'm very fired up, man. I got a personal friend in this band. Yep. They're from Alabama. They're from the same area I'm from. And they're called King's Haze. And this song is called The Call. And just an awesome band, a three-piece band. And they have backgrounds of funk and metal, jazz and reggae. And the songs sound anywhere from the Commodores and Prince to Metallica to Rage Against the Machine. So they got a wide variety range there in their songs. Awesome stuff. They've been voted number one band in the Valley, there in the Tennessee Valley. So they've had a little bit of accomplishment. These guys also play in a reggae band called Kush Reggae Band. So they have a rock and a reggae band. So just a lot of diverse styles going on.
That's cool.
And I hope you guys like the song. They have a website, kingshaze.com. And you guys know what the call is. And the call is November 6th. Get your asses out and vote. Tell all your friends. And so, yeah, turn it up. The call. See you guys tonight, Earth Crash Flower Hour. Have a good Friday.
Shut it for you. We're running under the history soon. Relax and wait for the call to move.
Suffering the consequences of a conscience is an affliction that we cure through a conflict. Burning flames of the war get higher. Feel the need for a mighty desire. This isn't about race, wealth, or insatiable gain. It's about what's wrong in the system of a drain. Keep the movement till you see the light. Stand up, stand back, and get ready to fight.
Stand up, stand back. Get ready for the call.
Stand up, stand back.
Get ready for the call.
Stand up, stand back.
Get ready for the call.
Stand up, stand back.
God, Jesus will make these American lies. Give it to the youth that had your try.
Suffering the consequences of a conscience is an affliction that we cure through a conflict. Burning flames in the war get higher. Feel the need for a mighty desire. This isn't about race, wealth, or insatiable gain. It's about what's wrong in the system of a drain. Keep the movement till you see the light. Stand up, stand back.
Our ballots came in the mail today. I can't wait to cast my vote for Measure 80.
Measure 80? Is that the one to legalize marijuana? I don't know about that.
Why not? Marijuana is far safer than alcohol.
I know that, but I worry about kids smoking pot.
It's easier for kids to buy pot than beer because clerks check for proper ID.
Sure, but what about stone drivers?
We've had medical marijuana for 14 years, and yet our traffic safety stats are better now than before medical marijuana.
Okay, but what about people coming in stoned to work?
Come on now, honey. Oregon's workplaces are safer than ever, and we have over 50,000 medical marijuana patients. Nothing about Measure 80 prevents employers from maintaining drug-free workplaces. I know change is scary, but Oregon really needs jobs and tax revenue, and Measure 80 will provide them.
Okay, safer for kids and tax revenue for our state? Makes sense to me. I'm voting yes on Measure 80.
Paid for by Oregonians for Law Reform, OregonLawReform.com. 17 states and the District of Columbia have legalized the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. Over 70% of the American public supports the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. What does Governor Mitt Romney think of medical marijuana?
So medical marijuana is legal in Colorado. One of our viewers, Bill Ferguson, asked, should marijuana be legalized for medical use?
Aren't there issues of significance that you'd like to talk about?
The medicinal use of marijuana is a significant issue to the millions suffering from cancer, AIDS, and other chronic pain, nausea, spasticity, and seizure disorders.
I think marijuana should not be legal in this country. I believe it's a gateway drug to other drug violations. The use of illegal drugs in this country is leading to terrible consequences in places like Mexico and actually in our own country.
Okay.
I oppose legalization of marijuana.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind. If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face-to-face with the monster of marijuana, he'd drop dead from fright.
You know, it's not easy countering 7 decades of propaganda in a 2-hour show, but let's try. It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Reefer Madness Debunked.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're going to talk about some reefer madness, actually. Madras, Oregon, the site of the Oregon Statewide Marijuana Summit. And I really, really wanted to make it out there because my one non-pot-smoking friend was out there, Dr. Kevin Sabet, Sheriff John Trumbo, and many other prohibitionists. But as this is the voice of the marijuana nation, and we got people all over listening to us, it just so happens that one of our listeners has bravely volunteered to expose himself to 8 hours of propaganda and report back on it for us, and that's Michael Hughes. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, Russ, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Before we get into the reefer madness, tell folks about your background and how you came to be our reporter for this segment.
Well, I'm an attorney. I've been practicing law for 13 years. I'm licensed in Minnesota, Nebraska. I primarily practice criminal law in Minnesota, and I've also done a lot of civil work, civil rights work, civil class actions. Most recently, I've been out on the West Coast consulting on some jury trials and some medical cannabis issues down in Northern California, and have relocated to Oregon in hopes to cast my vote in favor of Measure 80. So I've been working with cannabis issues my whole life. My family are longtime hemp farmers dating back to the 1700s. And so our family's hemp operations were shut down via the 1937 Marijuana Stamp Act.
Wow.
And so I've also got a long history of knowledge from grandparents and tales about hemp farming and when they did raid the fields and close the hemp industry down in eastern Nebraska, where I'm originally from. So I kind of have a lot of knowledge about the cannabis plant and spent a lot of time studying the legal history of it, wrote some papers about why really the hemp industry shouldn't even be illegal, and under the law it wasn't supposed to be illegal. Mm-hmm. And that was a part of my legal studies when I was in law school at Drake University. And so recently just been working on these cannabis issues, and I seen that they were having this marijuana summit up there, and I went up there to see what kind of information and what this was all about. And it appeared to me to be a basically a pep rally for the pot haters, from law enforcement to the treatment people. And I will say the first speaker, Mr. Dr. Sabet, was the most rational one, although he did veer into some of the boogeyman stuff too. But he actually seemed to warn them that, hey, we got to get away from this boogeyman reefer madness stuff. And then as soon as he was done, the law enforcement speakers got up there and went right into the same old reefer madness. The world's going to end if we allow anybody to potentially use or ingest cannabis.
Yeah, I was looking over some of your notes here. And of course, if you don't know my one non-pot smoking friend, Dr. Kevin Sabet, he was a advisor to the Bush and Obama administrations, basically the right hand man for the drug czar. In a sense, the senior policy advisor credited with coming up with new ways of fighting this, because they're not dumb. They can look at polls and see that people by large majorities now think the war on drugs has failed. So they don't want to change the war on drugs, of course, but they got to find a new way to market it. And that's his specialty, I'd say.
Right, and I think that's what he was there for. He outlined the strategies they should focus on. He said they should go away from the all-or-nothing approach that they have taken in the past, like, hey, it's all illegal and, you know, we can't do anything, that they should have some middle ground, but they should take the position that legalization isn't the answer, come up with some sort of middle ground. Of course, they don't propose any middle ground. He also said they need to cater the youth vote. That is big, and he really highlighted, and I think this is an important point, that the mom vote out there is critical. He pointed out that it was the mom vote that really, the mothers, the women that brought about alcohol prohibition. It was the mom vote in Prop 19 in California that surged at the end that may have affected the polls there. So he pointed out some critical things that are going to be important, and I think with the polls that you just mentioned earlier in the show, I think those are important things to consider.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, when I see groups like Normal Women's Alliance, Moms for Marijuana, Women's Marijuana Project, all these things coming up, courting that mom vote, I'm so hopeful for our chances. And you know, even with, say, I-502 in Washington State, one of the things the detractors have been saying about it was a sellout to soccer moms. And I'm like, well, good. Let's get some soccer moms voting for this stuff.
Right, they're going to be key voters, and the key for them, I think, is their tactics. It appeared, at least from the local speakers, the sheriffs, the district attorneys, is to scare the hell out of everybody. Mm-hmm. It's to, hey, if this goes on, everything's going to go bad, society's going to go crazy, you know. And they don't mention that, hey, where we do have medical cannabis in states where people can go to stores and buy it like a normal human being, that just isn't the case. Mm-hmm. So. You know, I think that's going to be their tactics, and I think Measure 80 supporters need to point out that, hey, look, under the current structure of law in Oregon, okay, you can possess up to 28 grams, and it's an infraction. Okay, you're going to pay a fine. It's still a hassle. You probably got to go to court or go down there to pay the thing. But they don't mention if you go to buy that, you get caught up in the sting where you're buying it from the guy. It's a felony.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's
if there's money exchanged, it's a felony. And so the casual user, I think, needs to understand, because I hear a lot of casual users have questions about Measure 80. Like, well, you know, I can go out and get my cannabis now. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, what, you know, why do I need a store? I don't want to pay taxes, sort of stuff. But my point is, you're going to not think that once you get caught up in a, you know, when you're over at your guy's house getting your stuff, and they jump in there and the cops raid the place, and now you got to hire a lawyer. And you're down at court, and you got to play Russian roulette. Are they going to plead me down to something that's not a felony? Or am I going to get stuck with a felony? Am I going to be on probation and then maybe fail a P test and then up in jail? I mean, they need to understand that under the current system, even though they can possess it, the process of possessing it involves committing felonies.
Right, right. And that's something that I always like to point out, because the what I've seen coming out of, Josh Marquis, that DA from Clatsop County, in his arguments against Measure 80, and I hear this from other prohibitionists as well, they have to minimize what's going on. Nobody really goes to jail for simple marijuana possession. The people that are in jail, why, they've pled down from serious felonies. Well, yeah, sometimes that serious felony is, I was at my dealer's house picking up my bag.
Right.
And that's the serious felony you're pleading down from. They don't realize that, you know, hey, I gave my friend an eighth is a distribution charge that maybe now you're having to plead down from. That there's so many ways they'll trap you with something that they can say is a felony, and the general public will go, oh, my God, felons, criminals. But on our side of it, we go, really? That's a felony? Really?
Right. Well, and you know, the DAs like to say, hey, it's not that big of a deal. Measure 80 is a you know, what they call it? It's an initiative seeking out a problem. There's no problem here.
Right.
We have decriminalization. We have medical cannabis. There's no problem here. But yeah, they don't point out that you're playing Russian roulette. They don't mind playing Russian roulette. It's a game to them. It's numbers. It's whether they can get grants. It's whether they're going to, you know, keep their numbers up so they can keep the number of county attorneys employed at their office. So it's a game to them. And the casual user needs to understand that at some point, whether it's them and how many people have had their dealer get hassled and now they got to go find somebody else. I mean, the key is the district attorneys want that system to continue. In other words, they want the person that they say, hey, it's no big deal for you to possess an ounce of pot, but, you know, we still want you to have to go through the criminal market to get it. We don't want you to have to go through a legitimate store where you can be treated as a legitimate human being, where you can walk in, deal with legitimate people, know that you're dealing with legitimate people, walk out, go to your house and be treated like a normal human being. They don't want you to do that. They want you to continue to have to go back into the criminal market just so you can possess that ounce that they say, hey, it's no big deal to possess.
Right. And by the way, folks, we're speaking with Michael Hughes. He's an attorney in the Bend, Oregon area, originally from Nebraska and Minnesota, moved out here to Oregon. He attended the Reefer Madras meeting, which was all of the prohibitionists and drug cops strategizing on how to fight against the rising tide in support for legalization. And you bring up that point about how they minimize and say, we don't have a problem here because it's decrim. And I actually heard Josh Marquis say, an ounce is available. It's available, as if like you could actually find it somewhere without...
Well,
like
I think he means it falls out of the sky from spaceships that just drop it over.
Yeah, without, like you say, having to commit a felony to go do it, which to me gives lie to their claim that this is all for our own good and saving the children, because what about it would be so terrible if the buying and selling of it is the crime, but the actual having of it and smoking of it isn't no big deal? Shouldn't it be just the opposite?
Right. Well, and it creates the sort of gray area that they argue that medical cannabis is creating. You know, it's not just Measure 80 that they're attacking. Understand that their next target is medical cannabis in this state, and the district attorneys that don't like it and the cops that don't like it, they're just waiting to get the basically the will of the people. In other words, if Measure 80 doesn't pass, they're going to start attacking, and they attack it now. We saw from this conference, they're there. They say, hey, we're prosecuting medical cannabis cases. You know, it's just hard to prove that they're in violation of the law, and it's tough to prove, and they've got all these defenses and this and that. And that's that they're doing it here. They're doing it in counties, you know, maybe not in the Portland area as much, but in counties. And they did it in Northern California, in Butte County, in Tehama County. The district attorneys didn't like it, and they just said, oh, you got 20 plants? Well, we're going to prosecute you and force you to go hire an attorney, spend a bunch of money, and come down to court to prove that you're doing this compliant to the law.
Right.
And if Measure 80 doesn't pass, mark my word, these people are going to start coming after medical marijuana more than they already are.
Absolutely. You mentioned in your notes that I'm reading over here that one of their big themes was what a big risk this would be. Oregon to be the first to legalize. Oh, my God, no one's done this before. Terrible things will happen. Make a note of what to tell us how they were trying to sell that line.
Basically, it was legalization has never happened, so we don't know what will happen. And I'm thinking, well, other than that time period from when the dinosaurs died until about 1937, you mean legalization has never happened.
Right.
But that's kind of their big thing. We can't take this chance. We don't know. It's we're walking off the edge of the cliff without knowing how far we're going to fall. It's basically the fear strategy, and I think that's what they're going for. But I think maybe moms need to ask themselves, when their kids go off to college, and most moms are going to at least understand, and maybe this is where we as human beings need to approach this issue with the understanding that people are going to use cannabis, and that's just a fact of life. People are going to eat greasy, fatty foods. People are going to smoke tobacco. People are going to drink alcohol. People are going to do things that aren't necessarily the greatest for them, but they're going to do them. And so moms know when their kids go to college, okay, they might experiment with marijuana. Now, do I want my kid to get caught up in something where he's charged with a felony and we got to hire a lawyer and we got to go down to court and we got to hope he doesn't get a felony so he can go to medical school or he can go to law school or he can go on to do whatever he wants to do? Or do we want a system where, hey, him and his friends can go down to the store and buy it and go back to their apartment and abuse it and play PlayStation and watch a football game and do whatever the college kids do?
Yeah,
that's the question moms need to ask themselves.
That's the way we need to frame it. And Michael, please, if you will, stay on the line. We got to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll discuss more of the Reefer Madras. Is that cool?
Right on.
All right. Be right back. This is Russ Belville Show. Thanks for listening, everyone.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Kids and marijuana. It's something every parent worries about. With Measure 80 on the ballot, many parents are worried about what message legalized marijuana would send to their children. While legalization seems scary, our experience with alcohol and tobacco show that regulation and education, not prohibition,
are what best protect our children. Today, fewer teens drink alcohol or smoke cigarettes than when we were growing up. And that's because we passed strict ID carding regulations, put beer and cigarettes out of kids' reach, and educated them about the real harms of smoking and drinking. In fact, teens smoking and drinking are at their lowest recorded levels ever, and we didn't arrest any adults for cigarettes and beer to accomplish that. Kids consistently say that beer is harder to buy than pot. After Measure 80, marijuana is treated like alcohol. You have to be 21, you have to show ID, and you have to go to an adults-only store. The message we send to kids today is just say no, and it just doesn't work. Let's send the message that marijuana is for adults, and someday they can make that decision for themselves. Vote yes on Measure 80.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Welcome back, everybody. 46 after the hour here on the Russ Belville Show. We're continuing our look at Reefer Madras, the statewide marijuana or the Oregon statewide marijuana summit that was held by the prison, police, rehab, industrial complex, basically all trying to protect their jobs by continuing to warehouse peaceful, nonviolent, non-criminal marijuana smokers. Joining us by telephone is Michael Hughes, a defense attorney in the Bend, Oregon area, who braved this 8 hours of Reefer Madness and escaped unscathed, at least as far as I can tell. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing great. And just for clarification, I only made it through half the day, and then I had to go back for some deprogramming from the brainwashing. So,
okay. Half a day is more than anybody should have to endure of that stuff, I tell you. When you're sitting there listening to this and you know, judging from your background with your family, being hemp farmers and all, it just had to make your blood boil, didn't it?
Well, I guess there's some things I did learn. I did learn that the casual pot smoker in their 20s who quits for 10 years has a 8-point drop in their IQ when they turn 38. So that concerned me a little bit, but I was glad I was able to find my way back to the car and to get home, though, after finding out that information.
Yeah, and something that bothers me about when I hear stats like that is that, okay, let's even presume for a second that sort of absurd notion is true. So what? Is there a rule that says I have to have the highest possible IQ I can have? I know I'm allowed to drink a whole lot of alcohol, and I can show you a whole bunch of studies on what that does to IQ. So, those scares don't scare me.
Well, yeah, and I tell you, when I had my child, after a couple of years of parenthood, you feel like you don't know anything. I felt like my IQ dropped like about 170 points. So, you know.
Yes, no doubt about that. Now, one of the things that was listed in here, and I know this speech from Kevin Sabat in and out. I call it the Sabat conjecture, and that is the pot proponents say that if we legalize, we'll be able to raise all these taxes. But you and I both know that based on alcohol and tobacco, that the social costs will be way worse than what we'd get in from the tax revenues. Was that basically what he ran down?
Yeah, there was a lot of that, and I think a new angle is the federal state battle that's going to be pending, and that there's going to be costly federal battles because Measure 80 requires that the state defend against any actions against it, which most laws of the state require the state to defend it against any actions. But a new wrinkle that was brought in by Mr. Martin was this notion that it's also going to violate UN and international treaties, and that not only would Oregon be fending off fights with the federal government, that they would be fending off legal battles with the UN, apparently, and United Nations tribunals somewhere, duking out whether or not people can buy cannabis from a state-run store in Oregon.
Well, you know, because the UN doesn't have any bigger issues to worry about at the moment.
Right, exactly. So that was a new wrinkle to the arsenal, though, of potential pitfalls that would happen, was that we're going to have massive international legal disputes going on alongside the major federal disputes, which I don't think there's any thought that we won't have some disputes with the federal law, but I think that's going to happen until the feds realize that a naturally occurring herb should not be in the schedule of controlled substances.
And something that I would I'll put out there is if Measure 80 is passing in November, then I-502 and Amendment 64 surely passed. So now you got three states, and now it's three states fighting the federal government, and you know they want to pick on a three-front war like that. I don't think so.
Well, no, and you know it's going to be three states for sure. If Oregon passes, that means the other two overwhelmingly pass. And the thought that Arkansas would be the first southern state to have a medical marijuana program, I think at some point in time, it's not even going to have to go through the initiative process. That the state legislatures are going to finally figure it out and actually just start amending their criminal statutes and their laws accordingly. But, you know, until we win these battles out here in the West, it's not going to happen in the Midwest or in the East. But I can guarantee you, whether it's Colorado, whether it's Washington, whether it's Oregon, whether it's one, whether it's all three, one of them's going to go this year, and we're going to have a battle. And I can tell you what, the battle is going to be, the reality is, we're on the right side of history here. And I don't know if anybody's ever read Jesse Jackson's book, but he totally understands what being on the right side of history is. And the right side of history here is it is no longer acceptable for the government to discriminate legally or otherwise against people who use cannabis.
Studio audience loves that one. Speaking with Michael Hughes, attorney who braved the Reefer Madras presentation out there in Central Oregon. And one of your points in the notes that you sent to me, I love this one, that how they commented on how legalizers act like you're attacking their way of life.
Yeah. Yeah, they that was kind of shocking to them. And that was Mr. Sabat, who was like amazed that, hey, these kind of guys take it personally. It's like, well, you know, Mr. Sabat, if I just had enough political pull and could buy off enough politicians to make whatever medicine you might take illegal, you would probably take that pretty personally, too, if I was threatening to throw you in jail, threatening to have your children taken away from you, threatening to have your assets seized, threatening to have your property taken away from you. You would take that pretty personally, too.
Mm-hmm. And when this whole way of life thing, I think, and he may have started adding this to his repertoire after I trounced him in March back at the Baker Institute, because when I debated him, I had this great advice from Paul Armentano, who said, don't go into the studies and go into all the stats with the guy, because he's really good on that stuff. He'll make it all confusing and cloudy for everyone. And that's all he needs to do. He needs just to instill doubt. He said, instead, make it personal. Point out that you support putting me in a cage. You support caging me. And that forced Sabat to have to say things like, well, no, of course, I don't want you in a cage and you're never going to go to jail. Well, yeah, I'm never going to go to jail. I'm a middle-aged white guy. That's why. And now we get into it. Right. So that's I think, so important that and that's why him commenting on that, they act like you're attacking the way of life, kind of shows to me that he recognizes an Achilles heel there.
Yeah. Well, and the reality is, they are attacking somebody's way of life. The reality is they shut down hundreds of hemp farmers in the Midwest after the 1937 Marijuana Stamp Act. And if that's not shutting down somebody's way of life, I don't know what is. And if anybody ever looks at the legislative history or even the basic definitions found under the Marijuana Stamp Acts, hemp, the mature stock and fiber produced therefrom, was never even listed in the definition of marijuana. It was never intended to be regulated under the Marijuana Stamp Act, and the hemp farmers weren't ever supposed to be affected by it, and yet we saw how the law is implemented. And so right now, the numbers don't look great, but Oregonians have to step up to the plate and realize this is a battle they have to start. And if they start it, I guarantee the rest of the country is going to step up and help them finish it.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing where people want to see victories, and they want it to win. There's a lot of, you know, silent majority out there that support us. And when you talk about attacking our way of life, I often point this out as a civil rights issue, and I get, you know, some detractors that'll say, well, you know, it's not like civil rights. It's not like being black, gay, or being a woman. And I said, yeah, that's true, because you're, you know, born that way, whereas pot smoking is kind of a choice. But so isn't being a Catholic a choice, or being a Mormon, or being a Buddhist a choice? And yet we protect that as a civil right. And I think we're on that same level. I think the use of cannabis as being a part of your life, whether you believe it in a sincere religious way like Rastafarians do, or you're just a guy like me who's agnostic or, you know, atheist, but it's a part of your life and it makes your life better, I think that's a protected civil right.
Well, it's an equal protection issue, too. If we look at the behavior we're legislating here, which is getting intoxicated, there's no way under any equal protection analysis, and I used to file a motion every state court case I had in Minnesota challenging the constitutionality of their state drug laws, but there's no way under any equal protection law you can say, well, intoxication is a bad thing, but people who get intoxicated on this substance, beer, alcohol, tobacco, whatever, we're not gonna make them criminals, but people who get intoxicated on this substance are. It's absolutely ridiculous, and the whole prohibition thing. They passed alcohol prohibition. They granted the government the right to prohibit alcohol. I've yet to see a constitutional amendment granting any government the right to prohibit cannabis.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There was a claim that was made, and I'm hoping you can verify it because I'm going to get in my car and find it, of 35% THC weed here in the state.
Yeah, and he quoted that, and I'm trying to look through some of the slides I see, and I think there's some slides that indicate they found some Keith that had some 35% concentrate, but the guy flat out said, and this was the drug recognition expert, and this is something that's important that was pointed out there. They're prosecuting people right now for driving under the influence of cannabis. They have the ability to do it. It costs $2,500 for a department to get one of their officers drug recognition expert qualified so they can go into court and testify what they observe and get convictions for DWI. I think they said they had 2,500 DREs last year just from the state patrol alone. So Measure 80 is not going to change that. They are still going to be able to prosecute people in this state for driving under the influence of cannabis.
Yeah, that's one of their points that always blows my mind is when they say, well, Measure 80 has no standards for catching people driving under the influence and the cops will have little recourse. It's like, really?
So right, and to get to your point, this DRE expert claimed that there's 35% THC cannabis out there, and you know, in California there's labs that actually do testing, and a lot of the collectives and dispensaries have their stuff tested, and you know, the top range for the top shelf stuff down there is somewhere between 20 and 25, and that's very few strains. They also tried to indicate that somehow, you know, changing the growing conditions are going to drastically affect the THC in plants, and the reality is, you know, maybe growing hybridization and breeding techniques are, but, you know, just adjusting the temperature, most studies show only moderately can affect THC levels. Unless it's on the extreme ends, of course, then it can drastically affect THC levels.
So in the next presentation, after we had Dr. Sabet, you had Sheriff John Trumbo, and then this Eric Martin guy, some legislative and policy liaison, and in your notes here you say, these guys hate Paul Stanford.
Can
elaborate on that.
Yeah, they had a bunch of slides of Paul Stanford, and you know, some of them I have some questions where they came from. But you know, they're clearly targeting Paul Stanford. They clearly don't have any love for Paul Stanford. They clearly see him as somebody who's, you know, as they called him, a large scale pot grower, and somebody who's basically a criminal. I think that's the way most of them see him, but that's the way they view anybody who has any association with cannabis.
Yeah, so they're not happy about the Oregon medical marijuana program making it so they can't just lock up every pothead they see.
Exactly.
Oh, man. So this has been fantastic. Your notes here are very detailed. I really appreciate you bringing this to us because, making the 3-hour trip out there just was not possible. And if there's any future events like this or anything, anytime you'd like to call in and we can talk about this, I'd especially like to get you back on talking about industrial hemp sometime. That's something I feel like we need to do more coverage of, and to have someone who's got some family expertise on this would be invaluable.
Absolutely. There's farmers in Oregon that could absolutely raise industrial hemp and absolutely make it part of their regular arsenal of crops that they use in the state.
Right on. Well, Michael Hughes, I appreciate you being on our show and giving us that update from Reefer Madras. Thank you.
Take care. Keep up the battle, guys.
I will do. All right, folks, that's all the time we have for the show today, but stick around for hour two. Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. And later tonight, 8 o'clock Pacific time, we got the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Going to be a good time. We're going to rock out. You'll want to join us live at 8 p.m. on RadicalRust.com. For Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.